Okay, no matter what our disposition is, no matter what the disposition is of our spiritual maturity in Christ, we must write that word down, must always submit to God's will. You get that, right? Must always submit to God's will. Because when we don't submit to God's will, then that means that we have failures in our life, and those failures come from a lack of our willing attentiveness to the Word of God. So that means we have to have this willing desire to study, to gain wisdom, to gain knowledge, to gain understanding of what God's Word is all about. Because God reveals His character unto us through His Word. If you want to know something about God, if you want to know something about Christ, if you want to know something about the Holy Spirit, you have to submit yourself to the Word of God. And the only way that we can submit ourselves to the Word of God is by submitting ourselves to the will of God, which I know is very, very difficult. How many of you are with me on that? It's something that is very difficult to do in our life, but we must do that. And in order to do that, we have to give up something. And that we have to give up is our worldly desires. Those things that we want in our life, and we want them other than what God wants to give us. So our desires, our hopes, our wants, we've got to choose to give those up. We've got to choose to follow after Christ, no matter, we got to put this on there, we got to choose to follow after Him no matter where He wants to lead us. Okay, we could be like Jonah, and Jonah said, "Oh Lord, I'll do anything you want." And the Lord said, "Jonah, go to Nineveh." And what did Jonah do? "Ah, Lord, I don't think you're leading me in that direction. I'll go the other way." So we've got to want to go where God wants to lead us. So that means every circumstance, every situation, every trial, every tribulation, everything that God gives us as opportunities, we have to focus upon Him through those things or in those things. So we got to learn that submitting to God is not a submission of convenience. Lord, if I have nothing else to do today, I'll do what it is you want me to do. Our submission is not of convenience. It is something that we learn to do every moment of every day, and we can only do it as we heed to the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read you a verse in Micah. We're going to spend a little bit of time in the Old Testament this morning. But in the book of Micah, And the prophet here, and he's asking the Lord. He said, Lord, what can I do to please you? And like all the rest of us, he didn't want to hear the answer. But in the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 7, here's what he said. He said, "Therefore I will look to the Lord." He said, "I will wait for the God of my salvation, and if I do these things," he said, "He will hear me." So then in verse 8, he said, "Rejoice not against thee, O mine enemy, when I fall." He said, "I shall rise when I sit in darkness. The Lord shall be a light unto me." So now if you just back right up with me into chapter 6, and I want to read verse 8 in chapter 6, here's what he says. He said, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good." So he's going to give us three things here that when we ask, "Lord, what it is that I can do that will please you?" And Micah asked this, and he said, "I'm going to give you three things." He said, "What doth the Lord require of thee?" So Lord, what can I do? What would you have me to do? And here's what the Lord told him. He said, first of all, to do justly, all right? To love mercy, and to what? Walk humbly. And he said, you got to do it all with God. Not against God, not for God, but with God. This is how it has to be in our life. So God shows all of mankind, because He wants all of mankind to be to come to know Him, to have a relationship with Him. So He shows everybody what is good and what is acceptable. And not everybody chooses what is good and what is acceptable. But He shows them. He said, it is to fear the Lord. It's to walk in faithful obedience to His Word. It's to submit humbly unto Him. And it's to love Him. The Bible tells us to love Him with all our what? All of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. So now, if you want to be accepted into the righteousness of Christ, we can do this. And God will continue to accept us through that if we act justly, if we live faithfully, if we walk humbly, and if we love God unconditionally. So that means God's love comes above and beyond everything else in our life. So we'll say something that might hit home a little bit. God's love comes before your kids, before your grandkids, before your husband, before your wife, before your grandparents, before anything else in the world comes God's love. And it has to be an unconditional love. Because God's love, the source of God's love, came to us through our new life in Christ, where He said, I will show you that I love you unconditionally, because He said, I love the world so much, I did what? I gave my only begotten Son, that He's going to perish, you won't perish, but you'll have eternal life. That is what unconditional love is all about. This unconditional love is instilled within us as believers through the indwelling Holy Spirit, but we have to choose to follow the Holy Spirit. That's a choice that we have to make. Every day I have to choose to submit my life wholly and completely unto God. Okay, so now as I look around at the world around me, and I begin to see, how is everybody else doing this? Is everybody else doing justly, loving mercifully, walking humbly? I see the world around me, we're focusing and putting our faith into a lot of religious rituals, a lot of ceremonies, a lot of rites, a lot of things that the church is going today. And they're saying, oh Lord, we're doing this because it'll bring more people into the church. And that's all you're doing, is bringing more people into the church. Doesn't do no good to bring them there if you're not going to tell them the truth when you get them there. So this is what's going on in the world today. But God, He doesn't focus upon those things. Well, if we don't do those things, we won't get the crowds that we're getting. God focuses on obedience. He doesn't focus on all those things. He focuses on obedience. When you was growing up, when your mom and dad took you to church, you learned just like everybody else. You learned all the simple things that the Bible has to teach. But now we have to teach something more if we want to get their attention. Now, you just teach them the obedience of God's Word, the truth of God's Word, God will get their attention. It's not up to us to get their attention. It's up to God to get their attention. So this is what we're to do. So instead of taking all this pridefulness in things that we really, we feel that we're doing for God, we're not really doing those things for God. We're doing them for who? Yeah. We're doing them for ourselves. That's right. We don't take pridefulness in those things, but we choose to allow God to work in our lives, which comes through personal sacrifice, because He is the only one that can give unto us the things that we need in our life that will glorify Him. Let's go back in Isaiah for a minute. Isaiah chapter 66. And I want to read verses 1 and 2. And here's what he says. Isaiah 66, starting with verse 1. Thus saith the Lord. It's coming from God, okay? Not man, it's coming from God. He said, here's what he said. The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. God's a sovereign God. created all things. He's ruler of all things. But then he was talking to Isaiah and he said, Isaiah, I want you to ask the people. God said, here's where I'm at. He said, now I want to know where you're at. Where is the house that you're supposed to be building unto me? Where's it at? Okay? And he said, not only that, he said, where am I going to find my rest in you? And he was talking to his own people. So if we relate this to today's time, he's talking to the believers. And he's asking the believer, you claim to be a believer, but he said, where's it at? What are you building for me? You're building for yourself, but what are you building for me? Where are you going to give me a place of rest in my life? Where am I going to be in your life? So he said, for all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man, he said, well, I look even to him that is poor and of a contrite heart, and one that trembleth to my word. So he said, for you all that don't want to build me a house, that you all, for you all that don't want to make a place for me in your life, he said, I'll look to somebody else. He said, I'll look to the one that wants to build me a house. He said, I'll look to the one that wants to, that is living a humble life. The one, this goes back to what we read in Micah, the one that will do justly. The one, he said, the one that has a contrite heart. He said, the one that trembleth at my word, meaning the one that is hungry for my word, pays attention to the commandments and the promises that I give unto him, to his word. That's the one. That's the one that I want. So now we ask ourselves, just like Isaiah was to ask the people, well, how is my relationship with God? When you got up this morning, did you say, Lord, how's my relationship with you? Where do I stand in my relationship with you? And I can tell you, no, we didn't ask, because we already knew the answer. We didn't want to hear it from him, because he's going to tell us the truth. So, do we have a genuine relationship with God? Or do we just say we have a genuine relationship with God? This is the question that we need to ask ourselves in our life. No, I don't have a good relationship a lot of times with God, because I limit myself to the will of God in my life. So he says, so let's ask another question. Am I going to strive now? I'm learning. Am I going to strive to live within the realm that God desires me to live? So, and I'm sitting in church, so I'm going to say, sure, I'm going to strive to do that. But when I walk out of the church, now what's my answer? Because there's many other things going on in the world that I want to be a part of. So I have to learn to surrender my will to God's will. I have to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to transform my life, to make it the way God wants me to be in my life. So that means I've got to learn to recognize the authority of God's Word. I've got to learn to, when God says, what are you doing for me? Where's the house you're building me? Where are you supplying me time or room in your life to do the things that I want you to do? So it all comes back to the principles of the commandments and the promises of God's Word. Allowing the characteristics of God to work in our life, because God wants us to be sincere. He wants us to be able to have, he wants to have an impact on our relationship with him. In 1 Peter, here's what he says. Let's go to 1 Peter here real quick. Now, this is a short verse. In 1 Peter, well, we might read a few more than one. In 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm going to start with verse 5. I was just going to read 6, but verse 5, let's start with verse 5. Likewise, he says, submit yourselves. He said, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In his due time. He said, and the only way that you can do this is, he said, to cast all your care upon him, because he's the one that cares for you.
Amen.
All right? Now, somebody around you might say, oh, I care deeply for you. Not the way God does. God cares for you. So, As believers, here's what we don't do, and here's what we need to do. We need to develop or continue to develop. And I can see this happening in both the churches. I can see it happening. And this, we need a teachable spirit. We need to develop a teachable spirit. I don't know who that is. We need to develop a I should have just answered and said, oh, you can join in. It was probably a salesman. They might have needed a little bit of preaching. We need to develop a teachable spirit. Amen. All of us do. And this teachable spirit can only come through humility. And humility can only come through a lot of prayer, a lot of meditation, a lot of study in the Word of God. And we realize that as we get this humility, that the worldly pride that is living within us, it is destructive. It is tearing us apart because it is disrupting our communion with God. It's disrupting our relationship with God. So we need this spirit of humility. This is how we represent Christ to the world around us. So a humble spirit will help us to grow. It'll help us to grow in grace. It'll help us to grow in mercy. It'll help us to grow in wisdom, in knowledge, in understanding. And it'll all come through the Word of God. And when we begin to grow, then God is going to raise us up into our newness of life. This newness of life that we receive when we gain salvation, most of us aren't experiencing very much of it yet. God wants to experience the fullness of the newness of our life in Christ. So the Word of God, we use the Word of God to encourage us, because all of these new experiences, God wants us to have these in our life. Let's go back to Psalms here for just a second. In the book of Psalm, the 145th Psalm, and I'm going to read, let's read 8 and 9, then we might jump on down in there. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great to mercy. Here's what it says, the Lord is good to all, to everyone. His tender mercies are over all His works. So that means that our works have got to praise Him. And he goes on down to say, in verse 17, here's what he says, the Lord is righteous. Verse 18, the Lord is not, and to them that call upon Him. Verse 19, He will fulfill your desires, the desires of him that fear Him or show reverence unto Him. And in verse 20, He says, the Lord preserveth all them that love Him. Look at the blessings that God shows us through His Word. The ongoing work that God has for us in our life. God wants us to experience His faithfulness, His grace, His mercy in our life. This is what God wants for us in our life. So I'm going to read you a story. I don't tell stories. I'm going to read you a story. In the book of 2 Kings, so turn with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to read this story to you, and I'll be really quick about it. I won't read the whole story. It's the story of Naaman. Everybody know the story of Naaman? How'd that all come about? Said that there was this young maid that was captured in a war and brought, and she was a maid to him and his wife, and so on and so forth. But anyhow, we're going to get down. We're just going to start with verse 9. But anyhow, Naaman had leprosy. Okay, leprosy represents sinfulness. We have sinfulness. So Naaman had leprosy, and the maid expressed to him, go to this prophet, and it was Elisha. So here's what he says. Chapter 5, verse 9. Here's where we're going to start. He said, so Naaman came with his horses and his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elijah. Now, and I would say he was mighty. This guy's going to heal. I'm puffed up with some worldly pride. This guy is going to... We come to church like that a lot of times, don't we? All puffed up. God's going to do a great... How many of you have heard? Well, I'm going to go to church over there today. This guy, he's great. And God's going to do a great work for me. And when they leave the church, instead of being all puffed up, they're dragging themselves. Well, that didn't work out. Why didn't it work out?
They didn't bring the Holy Spirit.
That's right. It wasn't God's fault it didn't work out. So here's Naaman, and here's what he said he'd done. But he said when he got there, he said Elijah, all he did was send a messenger down to him. Okay, so that started. Now his pride's going like this. That's starting to take that worldly pride away. And the messenger told him, he said, go wash in Jordan 7 times. The dirtiest, stinkiest, worst river in the land. He said, go wash yourself 7 times in that river. And he said, when you do, he said, your flesh will come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. And Naaman did what? He bowed his head. Started pouting. He said, I was mad. I was angry. I don't need this. I'll just go my way. And he said, behold, I thought, why didn't he? He's a man of God. Why didn't he even come out and talk to me? See, Naaman thought he was just so important. Sometimes when we go before God, we just think we're so important. Oh, Lord. Here, and then people call me all the time. You know, I went to God. I did this. I did that. And He's still not answering my prayer. That's because you're not humble. You're not sincere.
Right.
Huh? All of these things. Well, we don't like to hear that. I'll go to the next church down the road. And I'll go to, somebody will eventually tell me what I want to hear. Not here.
No.
You will not get that here. So he said, why didn't he come out to me? Why didn't he come and stand before me? Why didn't he call upon the name of the Lord, put his hand over me, and recover me or heal me of my leprosy? Why? 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 All these questions, why? And you can answer them all really quickly by saying, you had no spiritual humbleness in your life. All you had was worldly pride. But he said, there's these other rivers, the Abana, the Phaphar, the Damascus. He said, they're all great waters. Why didn't he ask me to go wash in them? And he said, to be clean. So he said he turned and he went away in rage. Okay? Now, he said his servants, so if we're looking at this in our time today, who are the servants? The servants are the church. The unity that we have within the church. So now it's time for the church to get involved. It's time for the church to let their light shine before the others so that they might see what the goodness of God is all about. And he said, the servants came and spake and said, if he would have bid thee to do some great thing, you would have done that, wouldn't you? And Naaman said, sure I would have. Because it would have been all about me. Everybody would have seen it was me. But see, God didn't want people to see Him. God wanted people to see His glory. So He said, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not done it? How much rather then, when He saith to thee, wash and be clean? Why didn't you do that? So it said he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan. He had to swallow a lot of pride. You know, sometimes when we pray to God, we have to swallow a lot of pride. And he said, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again likened to the flesh of a little child, and it said he was clean. Now, it didn't end there, because now he learned humility. See, a lot of times we go to the people within the body of Christ, and we say, oh, and we get to where we need to be. People has helped us come to, but we never go back and thank the people for what they helped us do in the Lord, for the light that they let shine. So he said, Naaman, he said he returned to the man of God, and he came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but the one that you all worship, the God of Israel. So one of the things that as we look, and there's a lot of similarities between us in our life in Christ and Naaman. A lot of similarities. And those similarities, when we begin to look at them, have a lot to do with overcoming worldly pride. worldly pride and worldly fear, so that we might be able to continue to pursue after our obedience to God. And if you study the book of Proverbs very much, I'm going to read you some verses in Proverbs, and we'll go through them here real quickly. In Proverbs, if you'll turn, go with me to the book of Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 16, 18. Proverbs 16, 18. And here's what he says. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before what? A fall. Arrogance. Arrogance in our life, worldly arrogance in our life, if we don't overcome it, it's going to bring disaster. And it's not just going to be, it'll be physical and spiritual. Okay? And so when we're too proud to humble ourselves as a believer, then in some way we're going to be humbled, and God's going to be the one that does it. All right? Because everything that we do in our life that is not in obedience to God, there's going to be consequences to those things in our life. So this destructive, prideful nature, God wants to take that away from us. He wants us to get rid of that because He knows what it's going to do to us in our life. And pridefulness is, we put ourselves on that pedestal a lot of times. And we do it. And you say, oh, preacher, I never put myself on a pedestal of being prideful. Yes, we do, by the choices that we make. And, you know, we make a lot of choices in our life without God, without ever realizing that we've made them, until God begins to show us those things in our life that we're doing, this pedestal that we've put ourselves up on. So He wants us to see that how hazardous this is to our spiritual life and our life in Christ. It hinders our relationship with God because it keeps us away from the fear of the Lord. So if you just back up in chapter 3 of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 7, here's what he says. Be not wise in thine own eyes. You're going to get this in next week's Sunday school lesson. Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, just go right on over with me real quick. In chapter 16, verse 19, because we just read verse 18, verse 19 says, better it is to be an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Because the spoil that you're dividing with the proud is only going to bring wrath and destruction and condemnation from God. So, what is the importance of having this humble spirit? The importance is it's the only way that we're going to trust God with our life. We're not going to do it any other time except that. So that means that His control over our life is essential to our relationship with Him. Do you get that? His control over our life is essential to our relationship with Him. So that means we're not making no plans on our own. We're going to ask God about everything because we want God to be in control of our life. And when we do this, then He's probably going to have to start redirecting some of our steps because we're already going in the wrong direction. So He's going to start redirecting our steps so that it's as He sees fit. And He does this as He encourages us to live according to the truth of His Word. And to live, not just to live, but to live with purpose. Do we live for God with purpose? That means having a willing, humble desire to trust that not only will He guide us, but yes, He is guiding us even when we don't seem that the way is clear. But we're still trusting in God that He is leading us and guiding us in that right pathway. So in Proverbs 22, it's the last one I'll read. In Proverbs 22, verse 4, here's what he says. 22:4. By humility and by the fear of the Lord. Okay? Humbleness and the fear of the Lord. This is where my riches, my honor, and my life, this is where it's at. It's not in worldliness. It's not in health. It's not in wealth. It's not in prosperity. But it comes through my humbleness. This is my riches, my honor, and my life. It is all eternal things of eternal value with God. I don't care about the things that are of value of the world. I care about the things that give me eternal value with God. So that means to fear the Lord means to do what? It means to respect God. It means to reverence God. It means to submit myself unto God. Every part of my life has to be submitted unto God. And when we do this, then we're acknowledging our need for God and the things that He is going to do for me in my life. So that means if I'm a proud person and I'm pursuing my own self-righteous ways, I'm not going to go nowhere in my life in Christ. You might think you're going somewhere in the world, but you're not going to go nowhere in your life in Christ. So it means we've got to be humble. We've got to be obedient to the Word of God. Humility with godly fear will establish our security in the Lord. That's where we're going to find our security in God. And when we do this, we'll find out that we're not going to stumble as much because we're not going to fall into these prideful, arrogant situations that we bring ourselves into that come from our own self-righteousness, our own worldly righteousness. And when we begin to do this, now we're going to begin to see the similarity between ourself and Naaman. Do y'all see the similarity between yourself and Naaman? Sure we do. I'm too prideful to go, Lord, you want me to go do... I don't want to go do that. That's dirty. That's awful. And the Lord's trying to get Naaman to see your soul is worse than that river. That river's actually going to clean you up. I feel bad for the river. So he said, he wants us to be able to proclaim that now we know, beyond anything else, we know there is a God. All right? He's the only God. He created everything. He is the sovereign God of the universe. He's the only one that can give eternal life. And this eternal life comes unto us through His Son, Jesus Christ. If we stay focused upon that in our life, then we're going to learn that all of the circumstances, all the situations, all the trials, all the tribulations, everything that we go through in our life, God allows it to strengthen us and bring to us, to show us what great faith truly is all about. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the opportunities that You give. And we just pray, Lord, that we accept these opportunities. We accept them willingly with a desire to go forth, Heavenly Father, to serve Thee, Lord, to learn humility, to get rid of worldly pridefulness, so that we may find ourselves, Lord, doing those things that are pleasing unto Thee and not just pleasing to ourselves. We just pray today, Lord, that we learn to submit ourselves wholly and completely unto Thee, Heavenly Father, that we don't do anything, Lord, without Your leadership and the guidance of Your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, as we continue to gain this teachable spirit in our life, Heavenly Father, that we, as we learn wisdom and knowledge of Your Word, as You give us understanding of the things that are going on in our life, understanding that we might share with others, Heavenly Father, so that we might allow our light to shine, Lord, so that others may see the goodness of you within each and every one of us. We just pray this day, Lord, that as we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory, that we also, Lord, ask for forgiveness of those things in our life that are not pleasing unto thee. That you would help us, Lord, to see and to understand, to turn those things over to you, Lord, so that we might go on being that bright and shining light that you would have us to be. Thank you once again, Heavenly Father, for your word, for the promises, the blessings that you give us through your word. And we pray that in all these things, we'll always remember to give you praise and honor and glory. And all these things we ask in thy most precious and holy name. And amen. Okay, so remember, Thursday evening, we'll be back here for Bible study. Am I right?
Right.
Okay. Thursday evening, we'll be back here for Bible study. We are still on chapter 2, verse 5. We didn't get off of verse 5. So bring more stuff on that. And we can, if we get through that, we can go on down a little bit. But chapter 2, verse 5. Anything else? What?
Next Sunday, Luke and communion.
Okay, yes. Next Sunday, I will be over at Big Isaac. Pastor Lou will be here. And Brother Roger will be doing communion with you. So don't forget that. Anything else? It's going to be a beautiful day. Get your second cutting hay up.
Still working on first.
So, okay, finish your first cutting, then move to your second cutting. Anybody else? If not, let's stand and praise the Lord three times. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!
Now let's go home and beat the chickens.